Well, good morning, everyone. So glad you're here. Happy Thanksgiving. We know that you have so much to be grateful for. I have so much to be grateful for because we know our Father God, He loves us so much and He desires nothing but the very best for our lives. As we trust in Him, as we believe in Him, know that He's going to give you an outpouring of many things, greater things. He wants to bless you in ways that you will truly know that your Father God loves you and He cares for you. Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Lord God in King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We rejoice knowing that you are our Father God that loves us so much. The only thing we can say is thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love that never ceases. We thank you, Lord, for all your provisions. And we know, Lord, this week, Thanksgiving is coming up. Let our hearts be full of gratitude for all you've done, all that you've provided us with, because we know it comes from your hand. And because you love us so much, you desire more and more for us, and you desire the very best for our lives. Father, we give you praise, we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, the title of my sermon today is Getting Excited About Giving Thanks. Getting excited about giving thanks. You got to say that with excitement, you know, knowing if you're giving thanks, you got to be excited about it. You know, there's a true story about this family that was seated around their Thanksgiving table, and it was their custom. Everyone shared what they were thankful for. They went around the circle, and someone had to say, okay, I'm thankful for this. And from the oldest to the youngest, they took their turns expressing their praise and thanks to God. When it came to this five-year-old boy in the family, he began looking at the turkey and expressing his thanks for the turkey, saying, although he never tasted it yet, he said, I know it's going to be good. I've been waiting for this. And then he thanked his mother for cooking the turkey. Then he thanked his father for buying the turkey. And then he was thankful for the grocery store for stocking the turkey and the workers there who put it in the refrigerated section of the store. Then he said he was thankful for the cashier for him checking out the turkey. And then he was thankful for the farmer who raised the turkey. And then he thanked the man who fed the turkey and made him big and plump. And then he thanked those who brought the turkey to the store. And having all this being said, he looked up solemnly, and then he said, did I leave anybody out? And the older brother rolled his eyes and said, God! And without batting an eye, the five-year-old turned to the brother and said, yeah, I was about to get to him. Cute, yeah? But you know, Thanksgiving is a time to be what? Thankful. Are you thankful? I mean, really thankful. If you are, you should say it from your heart. From your gut, you should say, thank you, Lord. And, you know, but more than often, we got to realize many people aren't really thankful. They say they are, but, you know, it's not really from their hearts. They basically believe that, you know, they have all they have and they deserve it. Because, you know what, if they don't have it, they should have it. And a lot of times people, they have this kind of thinking, say, I deserve even more. And then there are others who are really thankful, but they're very quiet and secretive about it. You've seen people like that, right? Oh, yeah, I am thankful, but you don't have to tell people about it. You know, I am thankful, though. Why not express it with excitement? You know, tell the whole world that you're thankful to God. And then there are others who just think, you know what? God doesn't deserve any credit for all they have. I put in the blood, sweat, and tears. What I got, hey, comes from my efforts. Question is, which are you? You know, I got to tell you, many years ago, a well-known pastor, I don't know if you've heard of him, his name is H.A. Ironside. Pretty cool name, yeah? Ironside. And he had an incident in this crowded restaurant. And as Ironside was about to begin his meal, this man approached him and asked if he could join him. And Ironside invited him to have a seat. Yeah, come join me. And so, as it was his custom, Ironside, he bowed his head down in prayer. And when he opened his eyes, the other man asked him, excuse me, you got a headache? And Einstein replied, no, I don't. Then the other man asked, brother, is there something wrong with your food? And Einstein replied, no, I was simply thanking God as I always do before I eat. And the man said, oh, I get it. You're one of those Christians, right? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in. And then Ironside said, hey, yes, you're just like my dog. That's what he does too. Oh, that's kind of love. Hey, isn't that true? Dogs don't give thanks, right? They just kind of dig right in as they're ready to eat. And you got to realize, though, then there are others who are so thankful. You met someone whose heart is just filled with gratitude. You know, they just can't hold it in. It's ready to burst out of them. They just want to say, thank you, Lord. And, you know, an example of this is this classical composer. His name is Joseph Haydn. And he was criticized, get this now, because his cheerful music in the church was just that, too cheerful. And a lot of people said, you shouldn't be so cheerful with this kind of music. You've got to be more solemn. Right? And he replied, hey, I can't help it. I give forth what is in me. When I think of the divine being, my heart is so full of joy that the notes just fly off from a spindle. And I have a cheerful heart because I know that he will pardon me if I serve him cheerfully. Isn't that true? When you have a heart full of gratitude, it should come forth with great joy, great excitement, because if it's not, you kind of wonder if it's really real. You know, there are people who are so excited about their blessings that they can hardly contain themselves. They just want to tell the whole world that they are so blessed. And I discovered that as a person loves Jesus, the more excited they get about being thankful. As they really fall in love with our Savior, I mean really deep love with our Lord Jesus Christ, they can't help but express more and more thank yous unto the Lord. And this was especially true of the Apostle Paul. We find in Romans 7:25, it's in your notes, look what he says here. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, I know this is on paper, but I capitalize it and everything, because I can only imagine, you know, he was thinking it like that. You know, he was saying, thanks be to God. Oh, I'm sure that was coming from his heart, was coming from his soul, because you can sense the excitement of how he says it. But this isn't the only time he wrote something like this. Earlier in Romans, this is what he wrote. Romans 6:17, it's in your notes. He says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. He's thanking the Romans that, you know what, you held on to your faith and you're getting in the Word. Thanks be to God. Whew. In another letter, Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth, and again, he says, 2 Corinthians 2:14, look what he says here. But thanks be to God. You gotta say it like that, you know? Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. He's thanking God that we know that Jesus Christ, He goes ahead of us, and He shows us how to live. And then Paul speaks of the change that he had brought to the Corinthian church among all the Christians in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He once again says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And the gift he's talking about is the grace of God. Knowing that we don't deserve anything, yet he says, I want to give you an abundant life. I want to bless you. And he says, thanks be to God for that. But the most powerful statement of praise shows up in 1 Corinthians 15. Look what it says there. You guys know this verse. It says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in the victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, And the power of sin is the law. There is the statement again, but what? Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no mistaking, right? You can sense how Paul was so excited about giving thanks to God. And this truth was so obvious that there was this legend around Paul for his love for Jesus. And it passed down from generation to generation. Families were talking about the very fact of this legend that Paul really loved our Savior. This legend tells of a wealthy merchant who had traveled to Rome to find this preacher he heard so much about. And in his search, the merchant found Timothy. And Timothy arranged a visit for this man to meet with Paul. And you gotta understand, at this time, Paul was a prisoner in Rome. He was in prison because he was full of zeal. He was full of life. He wanted to tell the whole world about Jesus Christ. And as the man stepped inside the cell, the merchant was surprised to find a rather old man. This is Paul now. He's physically frail, but he noticed his personality seemed very peaceful and full of life. And they talked for hours and hours and hours. And finally, the merchant left, and he was outside the prison, and he was talking to Timothy. And he asked Timothy, "Hey, what is the secret of this man's power? I've never seen anything like it before." And Timothy replied, "Didn't you guess? Paul is in love." And the merchant looked kind of confused and bewildered. And he says, "In love?" "Yes," the missionary answered, "Paul is in love with Jesus Christ." And the merchant looked even more bewildered. And he says, "That's it? That's all?" And Timothy smiled and then replied, "Sir, that is everything." And like I said earlier, when you say you're in love with Jesus Christ, this gratitude will just come bursting out of you because you realize how much he really loves you. Because Paul was in love with Jesus. It was obvious in everything he did, in every letter that he wrote in the New Testament. But why? What was it that led him to get so excited about our Lord Savior? But to get a better understanding of his love and excitement for our Savior, we've got to look at someone who had a very similar zeal and heart for God. You know who this is? We're going to be talking about this prostitute that Jesus meets in Luke chapter 7. And in Luke 7, we're told of the time that Jesus had been invited to a Pharisee's house. And this Pharisee, you remember his name? Simon, right? And I'm going to read to you Luke 7, starting verse 36. You're going to come in at verse 47. Just listen as I read this. It says, "One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with them, so Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman," this prostitute, right, "from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on his feet. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this," this is Simon, right, "he said to himself, 'Hey, if this man were a prophet, you would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner.' Then Jesus answered his thoughts." Remember, Jesus can read our thoughts. And he says, "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." And Simon replied, "Go ahead, teacher." And then Jesus told him this story. "A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that?" And Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt," right, "which is 500 pieces of silver." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she had not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume." And Jesus says in verse 47, it's in your notes, He says, I tell you, her sins, yeah, they are many. They have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. We got to realize people who have been forgiven little in their lives, guess what? As Jesus says, they love little. People who have been forgiven little, they're not very thankful. People who have been forgiven little aren't really excited about Jesus, because that was the reason Jesus came. Why did he come? To forgive us, to forgive us our sins. And you know what? It's true. So many times I've heard people telling me, Pastor, I can't believe that God would really want to love me. I hear this a lot. And they tell me, you don't understand, Pastor. All my life I've been a victim of unforgiveness and hatred. And now they can't love others because, guess what? They have all this unforgiveness in their hearts. And sometimes they tell me the very ones that I thought were my loved ones, they can't forgive me. And like Jesus says, people who have been forgiven little, love little. But we realize how much God loves us and how much God has forgiven us. And you know what? Paul recognized this. And that's why Paul loved Jesus. Paul was excited about Jesus. In fact, Paul couldn't hold his excitement about Christ because Jesus had forgiven him so much in his life. We realize Paul, he made a lot of errors. A man, before he came to know the Lord, oh, he messed up in many, 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 many ways. Now, I know most of you heard the story of how Paul became a Christian, but I think we should review this again so you understand why Paul was so excited about giving thanks to the Lord. Well, first of all, you got to understand, before Paul became a Christian, he was a very devout Jew. He was a teacher of the law, and he went by the name of Saul. And he saw Christianity as a big threat to the people of Israel, and he was determined to destroy it. And he knew the only way to destroy it is to destroy the people who believe in Jesus Christ. And he didn't want it to grow. And you guys remember Stephen? You know, he was the first Christian to die for the faith. He was stoned to death, right, by a crowd. And guess who was in the very front leading all this? Saul. He was probably saying, hey, you're not stoning him hard enough. Harder. Come on, kill this guy. This was Saul. He was evil before he came to know Christ. And you got to understand, he found special pleasure in the death of this man he viewed as a public enemy. He's saying, this is my mortal enemy, and I want to kill him. I don't want him to be alive. And in Acts 9, let me read to you what it says here about Saul. It says here, you're going to come in at verse 15, but I'm just going to read to you. You can just listen along. And he says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. We're talking about the way of Jesus Christ, right? He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. He said, just don't bring them back, you know, just like how they are. No, chain them up and bring them back here. And as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know what Saul says? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. And the men with Saul, they just stood speechless. For they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they didn't see anybody. And Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he had opened his eyes, guess what? He was blind. And so his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there for 3 days, and he didn't eat, and he did not drink. And now there was a believer in Damascus. His name was Ananias. And the Lord spoke to Ananias in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "And yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." This is what it says in verse 15 in your notes. It says, "But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And instantly something fell like what? Scales from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized, and afterward he ate some food and regained his strength." And we got to realize from that time on, Saul knew that his sins had been washed away. I mean, if you had an experience like this, a very similar experience like what Saul had, do you think you would be converted? I mean, Jesus showed himself in ways that you knew it was God. And from that time on, Saul, who would later be called Paul, was in great love with Jesus Christ. From that day on, he would always saying, he would be saying, "Thanks be to God." Saying it with total heart, saying it with total excitement. And from that day on, he realized how much God loved him, because God had been merciful to him. He had forgiven him of a great, terrible sin that he had committed against fellow believers. But he now had repented, and he now is excited about making things right with God. And at one point, Paul wrote to Timothy, and this is what he says. It's in your notes, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is what he says. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." He says, "I am the worst of all sinners. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." And you have to realize, as you read this, you can see how much Paul was able to love. Because, you know what? He had been forgiven much. Not just a little bit, because Jesus says, for those who have been forgiven a little, guess what? They can't really love. But he now realized, my Father God loves me more than I could ever imagine. You know the most important point of this sermon? What I'm trying to tell you is, you know, the very fact is many people don't get excited about Thanksgiving like Paul did. Well, first of all, you know, I'm not even talking about just giving thanks. Because that's what we do, right? A lot of times, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, you go to someone's house or people come to your house. Sometimes we do that, right? We say, okay, everyone, we make a circle and then you say what you're thankful for, right? I've done that as a kid too, you know? And you know, don't get me wrong, giving thanks to God is a good thing. Because making a list of all the blessings we receive is extremely important for you and for me. You know, a pastor, he once talked about how people would come to him and discuss their struggle with depression. You know, people would come to him and say, you know, Pastor, I'm just feeling kind of sad. I just feel depressed. And the pastor would tell him, okay, what I want you to do is write down 10 things which you can be thankful for, and then next time we meet, right, sometime next week, I want you to bring that list, and then we're going to discuss it together. And you know what? They would have great difficulty at first. You know, they would be sitting there at the paper, and I can't even think of one. What am I thankful for? I don't know. Nothing to be really thankful for. And then, you know, we call the pastor and say, you know what, I cannot even think of one. The pastor said, you know what, we're not going to meet until you come up with 10. I want you to really think deeply. I want you to really work at this. You come up with 10. So the person just sat there. And eventually, when they started coming closer and closer to 10 things they were thankful for, you know what? They realized, hey, you know what? My life isn't really that bad. And then they started writing more and more. And suddenly, they realized, you know what? I got hope in my life. Things aren't that bad. Actually, they're pretty good. And you know what? The pastor said, every time he would do this, he said, without fail. For people who really took it seriously, they came to a point and they realized how really blessed they are. And it's a good thing to make a list of the blessings that we receive, but you know what? There's a danger too in focusing on the things that make us happy. Because you know, you think about it, right? What are the things that we can be happy about? Oh, my nice, shiny car. Thank you, Lord, for that. And the TV set that is 60 inches in my living room. Oh, praise you, Lord, for that. And my computer, oh, it's upgraded to the top of the line, man. It's the best. Oh, and Lord, I'm looking for this new house. So I know, Lord, you're going to give me this house because you want the very best for me. And, you know, I remember watching this show on HGTV, you know, the Home Garden TV network. And I remember it was a show about, you know, the realtor finding, like, a dream home for couples. And I remember it just slipped out of the husband's mouth. He told the realtor, yeah, you know, finding this dream home is more important than my wife. And you know, he slipped right. He's like, you're not gonna show this on TV, are you? Oh. And guess what they did? I can imagine the trouble he got in, you know, for that. But you realize when we're so focused on stuff, guess what? You think your whole life is revolving around what? Stuff. You know, Matthew 6:19-20, look what it says there. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves what? Treasures where?
In heaven.
Where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And you got to realize when Paul said, thanks be to God, he wasn't praising God for all the stuff that God gave him. Can you imagine Paul saying that? Can you imagine Paul saying, thank you, Lord, for the house that I live in. Thank you, Lord, for the money that's in my bank. Thank you, Lord, for all the possessions that I own. You got to realize it's not a bad thing to be thankful for all that you own, all your possessions, because, yeah, it does come from the hand of God. But, you know, you also think about all the earthly comforts, right, that you can enjoy. You know, you want to be thankful for that, you know, and express it to God. But if it just stops there, we're in trouble. If you just thank you, Lord, for the stuff, period. Woo! More stuff, Lord. I'm ready to receive because your heavenly gates are wide open and you're going to pour forth even more stuff upon me because it's all about stuff. Right? And here's a question to ask yourself. What happens when you lose these possessions? Yeah. What happens when you no longer have these earthly comforts? What happens when you lose your home, your car, your family? Not that we want to lose it or ever want to lose it, but just say, what if it does? And what happens if you do lose your health? If you suddenly lost these things, would you also lose your ability to be thankful? Because that's true, right? A lot of times, you know, people lose these things. A good example of this in the Bible, who's this? Job, right? He lost all his possessions. He lost his children. He lost everything. But remember, his wife said, hey, don't you just curse God and die? And he says, no, we shall praise God regardless. You know, we praise God when things are good. And when things are not so good, we continue to praise God. That's the heart of a true believer. You're giving thanks regardless. It's not about the stuff that you own. It's not about the stuff that you know God has blessed you with. Because the stuff of this world, they're what? Are they last forever? No, they're just temporary. They don't last forever. They can get stolen, they can deteriorate, or they can die. Right? And when they're gone, does your heart of gratitude just stop? A lot of times I hear people tell me, you know what, God's no longer good to me. Everything just disappeared in my life, and you know what, I'm considering walking away from my faith. I said, that's the last thing you want to do, because that devil, he wants you to. He wants you to get far from God as you can. Don't do it. You hold on to God, realizing God, he has a purpose and plan for your life. You must hold on to Jesus Christ. Don't let your faith disappear when things start to disappear around you. Because the question is, when all of these things does disappear, will your hope and joy, will the joy that you have for the Lord and in this world, will they also fade away? Is this your basis for Thanksgiving? It's based upon your possessions. It's based upon everything else that you own. You got to realize Paul based his Thanksgiving on something else entirely. You know what he based his Thanksgiving on? He based it upon the mercy and forgiveness that he had received from God. Because he realized he was the worst of all sinners. You know, probably people told him, oh, you're never going to be saved. Has anyone ever said that to you? Or did you ever think that of someone? Well, that guy is so evil. No way. He cannot be saved. God will never want him in his kingdom. You know, some people think like that. And God says, no, for those who have a heart for me, those who are willing to submit their hearts to me, I shall welcome in. Doesn't matter who you are. God says, I will welcome this person gladly. And I got to tell you, you know, there was this one pastor who received a text message from one of the ladies in his congregation. And in this text message, this lady says to him, you know, I don't have much in this world, but I wanted to share how thankful I am to have a church family and for all the friends that I've made. And then she wrote, but most of all, I'm so thankful for Jesus for giving his life so that I can have forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life with him. Oh, sweet, yeah? And she understood the message Paul was trying to get across. True thanksgiving is more than just simply coming up with a list of blessings. Because true thanksgiving is based on how much you really, I'm talking really from the heart, deep within, how much you really love God. And true love for God, it starts with realizing how much He's forgiven you. Because you think about it, right? You kind of think about your past. I got to tell you, my past, I share with you guys all the time of, you know, how I was before. And I realized, yeah, I was a very selfish person. I thought it was all about me, myself, and I. Really. And I got to tell you, I'm sure there were people that were thinking, you think Ben can really be saved? Oh man, Ben's hopeless. God wouldn't want to even look at him. But you know, when I realized how much I needed God, when I realized, man, it seems like I'm trying to make the best of my life here, and it seems like I'm always hitting a brick wall. You guys ever felt like that? It's like every time you try and you think, okay, I got it together. Okay. It's all my strength. Okay, I'm going to go for it. Okay, I got it. No worries. I don't even need God. I got it. And then guess what you do? You run to a brick wall. Boom! Oh! Ouch! Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to try again. Nowhere. God, you can just stay over there. Okay, Lord, I'm going again. I keep hitting a brick wall. You guys ever felt like that? And I got to a point and said, Lord, I'm done. I'm exhausted. I'm getting nowhere in my life. Lord, I need you. That's where you will find the Savior. Amen? You come to that point and you realize, oh man, He's forgiven you. And He just wants the very best for your life. You know, an atheist once said, listen to his statement. This is what this one atheist says. He says, if there is a God, may He prove Himself by striking me dead right now. And you know what? Nothing happened. And you know what his statement was? You see, there is no God. And you know another person, another Christian, you know what his response was? Sir, you only prove that He is a gracious and forgiving God. And you realize, right? Isn't that true? He forgives. If you can make this kind of statement, yeah, go ahead. Come on, give me your best shot. Come on, come on. God is a loving God. He's not going to say, okay, here comes my lightning bolt. I'm going to fry you. Does God do that? No, He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He will never do that. He loves us too much. We are His creation. Amen? He will hold us tenderly, gingerly in His hands. He said, I'm going to care for you, child. No matter what you do, I'll be there for you. I will show you the way. I will give you my blessings. This is the love of God. And we realize, like I said earlier, He who has been forgiven much, guess what? Loves much. Do you realize how forgiven you are? We don't deserve nothing from God. We're so forgiven. We're so loved. We got to realize, we got to have a heart full of gratitude towards God. Because that's what drove Paul to serve God so strongly and so powerfully in his life. Look what it says in Romans 7, 24, 8 to 2. Look what Paul says here. Look what he says. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Now, I love that statement once again. What does he say? Thanks be to God. Let's just say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And he realizes no longer about himself. He realizes that the Holy Spirit of God is in him that has set him free from the bondage of sin. He realizes, it's not difficult to live a life that is pure and holy unto God. Because he realizes it is God that has forgiven him. He realizes that it's only through God's power that he can live the life that God wants him to live. And you can tell that Paul loved Jesus because his thanksgiving was more than just a listing of possessions. And remember I said, nothing wrong with that, but don't just stop there, you know? It's not about our possessions and our comforts. He was declaring how much God had done in his life. When he's saying, thanks be to God, he's declaring to God, man, you gave it all to me, and I don't deserve it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he expressed his love so much. This is what his statement was in Philippians 4, 12 to 13. Look what Paul says here. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Christ who gives me what?
Strength.
And that's what we realize. We're content. The secret is of a grateful heart is being content in every situation. And if you can learn to be content, guess what? You're not going to be grumbling all the time. When things start to go haywire, things don't go your way, you're going to give thanks to the Lord regardless. It's being content in every situation. Now I've got to tell you about this man. His name is Jack Hinton. And he was on this short mission trip. And he went to this island called Tobago. And on this island, there is a leper colony. People who had leprosy. And you know, one of his duties was to lead singing during the worship times. And one Sunday, there was a time for one more song, and he just asked, you know, the people that were there, a lot, you know, the people who had leprosy. He asked if anyone had a request. And you know, a woman who had been facing away from the pulpit turned around. And as she turned around, you know what he said? He said, I gotta be honest, that was the most hideous face I've ever seen. You know, the woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. There were no nose, no ears because of the leprosy, right? The disease had also destroyed her lips as well. So no lips, no nose, no ears. And you know, she lifted her hand. Her hand was fingerless. No fingers because of the disease, right? She lifted her hand in the air, and she yells out, "Can we sing, Count Your Many Blessings?" And you know, Hinton, who was overcome with so much emotion, he started to sing that song, right? He started crying, he started weeping. He says, I can't stay here. And he just left the service. And he was followed by another team member. And the team member said to him, "Jack, I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again." And he says, "Yes, I will, but I'll never sing the same way ever again." You realize, yeah, when you take note of how, really, you're so blessed in so many ways. Because a lot of times we think, oh, I got nothing. God doesn't love me. I'll never get nothing. But you just kind of like stop for a moment and realize how blessed you are in so many ways. Something happens deep within your heart and you're never quite the same again. You realize how much your Father God loves you. I mean, really loves you. You didn't deserve anything, but He says, "I'm wanting to give this to you, child, because you're so precious to me." And I want to tell you about this young minister. His name is Edward Spencer. And he was part of this life-saving team whose assignment was to rescue this group of people that were stranded in the ice-cold waters of Lake Michigan after their vessel had been shipwrecked. And you know, this young minister, he would jump into the frigid waters again and again to save 17 passengers. And he knew this would damage his body. And you know, his health was permanently damaged. Because you get like nerve damage, you get frostbite and all that, right? I mean, you keep jumping into ice cold water, it's going to damage your body severely. And he did it 17 times. He knew he had to rescue these people. And some years later, because of all these complications of his health, you know, he died. And at his funeral, it was noted that not even one of these people he rescued ever came to thank him for rescuing their lives.
Huh?
And the question is, when was the last time you thanked our Savior for saving you? Because just think about this. You guys remember when Jesus, he died on the cross and he resurrected. He appeared back to his disciples, right? Remember Thomas? He says, "Oh, I won't believe it until I see him." And then Jesus, what did he do? He showed his hand. Would you believe now? There's a hole in his hand, right? Because of the nails that were put through his hands and his feet. And you got to think about that. I was kind of thinking about this. Lord, because you tell us in your word that you have glorified bodies. How come you just didn't fill in that hole? Because I'm sure your body was all healed of all the torment, you know, all the devices that tore at your flesh. Why is it, Lord, that you didn't fill in this hole? And the Lord told me, the Holy Spirit told me, it's a reminder, Ben, how much I love you and love all mankind. Yeah, my Father could have filled this hole here and here and there, but when you come and you fall into my arms, you're going to see it. And you're going to realize how much I love you. I'll never stop loving you, he says to all of us. And we realize this is the love of our Father. There's nothing that can compare to it. Amen? And are you ready to express this kind of thanksgiving? It's not just about the list of stuff. You know, at Thanksgiving dinner, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be with other Christian believers or maybe just total non-believers. You thank Jesus for what he's done for you. Express it from your heart. You know, remember I talked about dogs not being able to give thanks? Not being able to give praise to God. I want you to check out this video. Dempsey, can you play it?
Dog can't. 熊爸老师教妈妈如何教我们，阿门。
go.
Want me to do something, but I don't think I could ever do it. You realize you got true love for God, you're going to be obedient. This is how you know that you really love God. You're obedient to His word. Amen. And you know, it's just like the other day I was passing this church and there's this sign, you know, that they had on their window. I read it and I was like, oh, that is so good. The sign read, "Not every happy person is thankful, but every thankful person is happy." Think about that. Because you know what? You can be happy, but you know what? You're not thankful. I'd rather be a thankful person first, because then I'll be happy all the time. Because you can be happy, but you know what? You can say, oh, you can still be grumbling, right? You can be happy and still be grumbling. Be a thankful person first. Amen. And one more thing I want to leave with you. One of my favorite songs is sung by this group called the Katinas. The name of the song is simply "Thank You." And as you watch this video, can you just express your gratitude towards God? Just really thank Him for things that you know are of greatest importance. Amen? It's not about your stuff, right? It's all about how much He loves you and how much He was willing to sacrifice for you. Listen, go ahead and play that.
Touch my heart.
glory. Thank you. Thank Him right now. Thank our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank our Father God. Praise Him because He loves you so much, more than you shall ever know. And like the song says, can you thank God for the sun? Thank Him even for the rain. No matter what happens in your life, can you always express a heart of gratitude towards our God? Because it really shows how much you really love Him when you can just express this to Him regardless of your situation. Because He loved you that much. And just like those dogs that we saw, if they can give thanks to the Lord, hey, we should be able to do so ourselves. Give a heartfelt thanks to the Lord, realizing He loves you. Thank Him for the very fact He's forgiven you, regardless of what you have done. Because that's how awesome His love is for you and for me. Why don't we go ahead and bow our heads. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the message spoken today, and we realize that we truly have a heart filled with thanks. Because, Lord, we know, without a doubt, how much You love us. And the very fact that we're forgiven, even though we don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything from You, Father. No, we deserve nothing from You. Yet You say, I want to shower my children with My love. I want to lavish My love upon My children because that's how much I care for them. That's how much I love them. The only thing we can do is just say, thanks, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You so much for loving a wretch like me. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Because we know how real Your love is. We just want to say thank You, Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank You, Lord. And I just pray right now, as you've heard the message spoken from the Word of God, you realize maybe you haven't been expressing gratitude towards the Lord. Maybe you say, yeah, I thank Him, but not truly from your heart. You're not thanking Him for the things that really matter. It's not about your stuff, about your possession. It's about the very fact that you know He was willing to sacrifice His all for you. He was willing to sacrifice His beloved Son for you. And you're saying, you know, Pastor Brad, I'm going to make it a point. From this day forward, I'm going to express gratitude towards Him. I'm not going to complain anymore. I'm not going to shake my fist at God and say, why haven't You done anything? Not realizing He has blessed me in so many ways. And if you're saying, I'm going to make it a point, I'm going to say, thanks be to God. Exactly like how the Apostle Paul said it and how he really expressed it from his heart. I'm going to do that from this day forward. Because I realize, yeah, my Father God loves me that much. This is the cry of your heart. You're just sensing in your spirit right now. And you say, this is what I'm going to do from this day forward. Can you raise your hand right now so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the message spoken today. And we know, Father, we're so grateful. We just want to say thanks for all You've done. And I just pray for those that have raised their hands right now. I pray that You will just let that spurt of thanksgiving just come upon them right now in Jesus' name. Let them be so grateful. Let them be content in every situation, Father, regardless of whether they have plenty or have little. They're going to realize true thanksgiving is about expressing love towards You, regardless of what we have or own. And I just pray this Thanksgiving holiday, Lord, that You would just fill our hearts with this very spirit, a heart of thanksgiving, giving Him praise, thanking our Father God for His mighty and great love for all of us. Thank You, Lord. We praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now for some of you, may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but remember, it's just not mere words that will get you saved. The the very fact you're expressing this from deep within your heart, deep within your soul. You're crying out to God and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you, Lord. I'm done trying to do it my way. I'm going to live according to your word. I accept your son, Jesus Christ, into my heart, into my soul, into my life. Father, teach me how to walk. Because, Lord, I don't know how to do it anymore. I'm tired. And you're crying out to God and say, Lord, show me how to walk in your truth. If this is the cry of your heart, you know the Holy Spirit is tugging in your heart. Don't fight it. Say, yes, Lord, I surrender all to you. I submit myself to you. I resist the devil, and the devil, he has to get out of here. Because I know your love, your peace, your joy will come in. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying yes to Jesus. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I say yes to Jesus with my whole heart. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. See your hand. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. I want you to pray this prayer out loud. Pray it with me. Mean it from your heart because you know God is listening right now. Pray this prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. Tonight I say this so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. And I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory.